it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to find out where the room is at for Monday Night Football. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, Bet Sweats, thanks for hanging out. Fun checking in with Jarrett Payton there. He was telling us during the break about his parlay from Sunday Night Football that missed because of the Ravens leg. Ravens to win, hits everything else. Classic. Just classic. Should have told us beforehand. We definitely would have talked about that. Those stories are fun.
Bunch of parlays last night that I saw, not only from my friends, but on social media. Book It Trent had his surgical six. And Trent is notoriously a self-proclaimed fade god. That's what he calls himself. It's in his Twitter bio.
Yes.
Trent's very funny. Great follow on social. So he gave a surgical six yesterday that was 10-1. It's a money line parlay. Bengals, bang. Cardinals, bang. Buccaneers, bang. Jaguars, bang. Broncos, bang. Ravens. Last leg to complete the six-leg parlay. Oh. Imagine if you are 5 out of 5 and your last leg is up 40-25 in the fourth quarter. That's a winner. That should be easy. That's a layup. Nope. Man. Killed a lot of parlays last night.
Damn. That's rough. I want to talk a little bit about Chiefs because that game gets hidden, right? In the whole landscape. It's a Friday night. Not as many people are going to watch that game. I believe it was streamed and, you know, you kind of forget about it after Sunday and Saturday is full action there. But one other game that did not get much chatter on this show. We mentioned the Jaguars one was weird. Like, yeah, Liam Cohen did a great job. They get the win. Hunter didn't have a fantastic game. They ran the ball a ton. ETN was awesome, by the way. So that had me thinking, is he going to be a bigger part of the offense than we were thinking? 143 yards. Jaguars run for 200. You quickly mentioned the Giants stink. Certainly fair. Russ stinks. It's going to happen. When does it happen? How do we time the market? I think you stepped away. I was talking with Paul a few minutes about it because that was my reaction from that Giants loss yesterday. You know, yeah, it was one of my picks, but as soon as I saw it was the biggest public dog of the day, I knew that dog was dead. But they're going to go to Dart. When are they going to go to Dart? Can we time it? Yesterday, Titans lose, so I don't think War jumped out ahead of anybody. Now, if he plays a whole season, he's going to rack up some stats. Okay, fine. But numbers-wise, he put up nothing. They lose the game, so I don't think he really gets any credit from yesterday's performance. So Dart missing that game is not going to hurt him in the long run. But I wonder how much they're going to stick with Russ. He's not getting a lot of money. Dart is second on the depth chart. And last check this morning, I saw him at 20-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year. If he's going to get an opportunity to play the majority of games, I'm saying like 12. Give him a dozen games. In New York, has any sign of success? I think Dart will have a chance.
It looks like the Steelers, the more we look at it, not to overreact to one game with Aaron Rodgers throwing 4 touchdown passes. But for the Steelers to go from Russell Wilson to Aaron Rodgers looks to be a pretty decent decision. Again, one game, but Russ just had no mobility yesterday. And, you know, the Commanders got through that line a ton. Again, Andrew Thomas did not play, left tackle for New York. Russ does not have that escapability, maneuverability anymore. And that's what a Brian Daboll offense needs. So you would think that that would happen. I hope they go to Dart, too, and not Jameis. Because Jameis is the backup.
They're going to go to Dart. Yeah.
They should. They have to see what they have. Because the roster around the quarterback is fine. The quarterback is the issue there. And Russell Wilson is not the answer. We know he's not the long-term solution. Go to the kid.
Ibuka, there's a move. He's the third favorite right behind Cam Ward. Goes Gentry Ward Ibuka. Okay. 110-1. Marion Hampton had in the Chiefs Chargers game, he was used as the bell cow. He was the guy. The problem is you didn't get the production. I think it was 48 rushing yards for him. But Hampton's still going to be in the mix, of course. In that game, Chargers over the Chiefs, 27-21. Chargers close as a three-point dog. They went outright over in Brazil. Herbert had a good game, man. 318 yardage, three touchdowns there. He spread the ball out. He hasn't had weapons in the past, not enough of them healthy. Quentin Johnston, he was their top receiver. Yeah, Ladd McConkey, and they bring back Keenan Allen. He spread it pretty even with those guys. Nice group of receivers. Maybe we're going to see some big-time performances out of Justin Herbert.
Yeah, that was a game I was really impressed with the Chiefs' defense up front. So I'd like to see Hampton, you know, earn his keep. I'd like a little bit more of a sample size. I mean, to run against the teeth of that Chiefs' defense is never easy. The issue you have when you look at the path for Hampton is he's got to do this against the Broncos defense and the Chiefs defense, you know, a couple more times collectively. So I think Hampton's fine. If anything, I would be looking to maybe buy a little bit more stock. He went out to one book at 15-1, which is where I initially bet him in the summer, and then he came down to 7 or 8 to 1. It's only one game, Joe. We cannot conclude who the offensive rookie or player or whatever is after just one game. So, no, I would – if anybody missed the Hampton bet from – we talked about it after the draft, I like what I see there. And Najee Harris is not really in favor anymore in Los Angeles. So Hampton will be just fine, I think.
Yeah, the only question would be how are we going to be with the offensive line? Offensive line health is going to be big there. But, yeah, we know what the head coach wants to do. He wants to run the football. On the Chiefs side, that worthy injury hurt them. You've got the Rice suspension. So early on, it's going to be tough. It might be challenging for them to put up points. But they went to Hollywood Brown a ton. 16 targets, Sam. If you're thinking, Kelsey, oh, it's going to be all Kelsey, his final year. Hollywood Brown got 16 targets in that game. He looks to be a guy that's going to get all the looks, at least early on. We'll see what happens with Worthy, but with the Rice suspension.
And Kelsey gets that first touchdown. So we had talked about that number, 4.5. That was it. Very disrespectful season-long touchdown market on Travis Kelsey, 4.5. He also, I don't know if this was talked about enough, he hit the touchdown and then did a bull riding dance. I don't think he realized he was in Brazil, not in Spain. I don't think that was chronicled enough. Did you see the dance? He did the bull rider dance, but that's not a Brazilian thing. That's a Spanish thing. Whatever. Semantics, I guess.
No, I don't think it is semantics. I think he did know where he was. I think he actually thought that that's what they were known for.
No, he was wrong. Very wrong.
Yeah, we like to point that out for sure. Where's the room? Let's take a look. Monday Night Football for Bears Vikings.
Where's the room?
I'm chuckling because some of these bets are very, very stupid. Here's the thing. Maybe we've mentioned some of these bets today and we'll be scared off. However, there are only so many props to choose from. So when you have a single game, it is the props market. We've got most bet player props. We've got most bet anytime touchdown scores and most bet first touchdown score. Sam, you tell me, where do you want to start? Player props, anytime touchdown, or first touchdown?
Wherever the wind blows you, my friend.
All right, let's go with your guy. Player props. Number 5. Rome over 47.5 receiving yards.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland. Think of the Browns outside of
Browns.
You know
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's number one.
Number five.
Number five.
So we're working our way up. So I don't think that's a big deal. Number four, McCarthy over 16.5 rushing yards. Okay. So they go with the quarterback there. Number three, Loveland over 2.5 receptions at -165. Okay.
Gotta lay the 160.
I like Loveland, but I'm going touchdown. I'm not laying -165 for three grabs. How about a guy that JP just mentioned? Zacchaeus. Over 18.5 receiving yards at -130. I did notice that at most other books, that number is into the 20s. But MGM is keeping it at 18.5, but you got to lay a little bit of juice.
That's the number two prop right now for the public. Zacchaeus over. Good grief.
Yes. Yep. And number one, Caleb, 25 plus rushing yards at -110.
I have a buddy who's going to the game tonight. He's a Vikings fan, big Vikings fan. So take this with a grain of salt. He says the Bears are going to have negative rushing yards today.
Is it the guy I met at the bar?
Yes. Yeah. He says negative rushing yards. Is he being a little hyperbolic? Probably. But if you really think about the Bears' running room, it's not anywhere near one of the best in the league. I think they're going to throw the ball a ton. They're going to have to because they're going to be in 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, a ton. I do not think the Bears are going to run the ball with a lot of success. Negative rushing yards is a wild take, but I did laugh when he said that this morning. He's like, the Bears are going to have -3 rushing yards.
I know what he's saying. So, well, let's bet Swift unders. Alt unders is what he's saying. Bet Johnson wants to run the ball. I don't trust any of these running backs. I don't trust Swift for a second. I don't care who he's running behind. Not against this defense, do you?
No. I don't. I mean, I love this Minnesota defense. Yeah. I've probably been talking to John a little bit too much, but the Grenard number for sack, when you brought that up this morning at +2.25, I think he's going to get a sack for sure. I mean, nothing is a layup or a lock in this racket, and I hate people that say that. I don't know how they're going to stop all these guys. Van Ginkle, Grenard, Hargrave, Jonathan Allen. Like, you can't. It's an double teamable defense. You cannot double team them. So you got to pick somebody and you got to put them on an island. And Grenard is a tough matchup and he's not a household name. You know, if this was a guy like TJ Watt or Miles Garrett or Aiden Hutchinson, if that was his name, he'd be +150 to get a sack. But because a lot of people don't even know who he is, he's +225. He had 12.5 sacks last year.
In the two games last year, against the Bears, he got a sack in both.
Yes.
He got two in one game, one in the other. Why is this the number?
Tonight.
Why is this
Caleb's
the number?
Caleb holds on to the ball way too long. And I don't
he
think
took
that's
68 last year.
I don't think you can fix that overnight. Yeah. The whole goal for Ben Johnson is to bring Caleb Williams along. It's not to fix him for Monday Night Football Week 1. It's to iron out his game and correct the bad habits. But that's not going to happen in 60 minutes tonight. That's not going to happen. He's going to take sacks. He's going to.
I love it. I love Grenard for a sack tonight. That might be my favorite bet the more and more we talk about it. Okay. Anytime touchdown scores, I'm going to start through the most popular. Number one and work our way down. You can guess who it is, right? Who's the biggest star on the field tonight?
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, +125. Number one, most bet anytime touchdown scored. Number two, guy we were just talking about, Swift at plus 155, Bears running back. Number three, Vikings running back, Aaron Jones, plus 155. See, I didn't even see a number out there earlier on him. Number four, one I like, Colston Loveland at nearly 4-1. And number five, Caleb, 5-1 for an anytime touchdown score. Okay. A lot of the same names for first touchdown. Jefferson is number one, 6-1. Aaron Jones, Swift, DJ Moore in the mix at 10-1. TJ Hockenson at 12-1 for first touchdown. That makes sense. I also like betting tight ends for that prop.
I still think the wildest bet of all the bets we just talked about in the room, the Loveland over on catches at minus 160 is crazy. Would never be me, ever.
Rookie, first game. And this is someone who likes Loveland for a touchdown. I like him for a touchdown given the situation, given the odds. But laying $1.60 at over 2.5 catches, so a little bit of volume with a rookie tight end, it usually takes a little bit of time for that connection. Okay. All right. I don't understand that. I don't mind the Zacchaeus bet. There's a reason the number's been going up. I get it. You don't want to overreact to preseason, but he went to him a lot, again and again, every time he was in there. He's going to Zacchaeus, and he was going to the tight ends. So take that for what it is. Lightning bets on the other side. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.